www.thebrandonradio.com. Another hour of What's on Your Mind. Hi, friends. I'm Scott Henn, along with Todd Mitchell from K-Fire 550 and 910 KCJB in Minot, at AM 1100 The Flag in Fargo-Moorhead, KTGO and KLTC booming to the Bakken. We are the most listened to radio program in the Northern Plains, and we thank you from all across the Northern Plains for that. A debate coming up on the minimum wage, which is kind of a foreign idea in North Dakota, with the fastest job growth, the highest wage growth, the lowest unemployment, the fastest growing economy in the country, try and pay anybody the minimum wage, which kind of is where I fall down on this argument. Something the market ought to set, the government ought not to set. But our guests have different views on that. We're going to let them debate it, and then you weigh in on it today on the program, because it is a major initiative being discussed. It is every year in the state legislatures of Minnesota, North and South Dakota. Democrats putting it forward, Republicans generally opposing it, and now nationally a debate. Senator Heitkamp has recently come out and said she agrees with President Obama on this and supports it, despite the fact that there are a number of studies out there. In fact, when I interviewed Senator Heitkamp in her office and we were out there a month or so ago, she specifically addressed some of the studies that purport to show that there's job loss when a minimum wage hike happens, although she said she didn't believe that. She acknowledged they were there, but didn't necessarily believe the results of those particular studies. So that's one of the areas we'll debate today on the program. Brought to you in part, by the way, by our friends at High Plains Apache, home of the Apache Sprayers. Simple, rugged, reliable. You got a 750-gallon unit, the AS720, all the way up to a 1,200-gallon unit. But it's more than the size, because you can get a lot of sprayers at that particular size. It's really about a rugged yet dependable 2014 Apache sprayer that has patented technology, world-leading innovations for the modern-day grower. How do I know? I just talk to the growers that have them, and they just talk about what a rare constant the Apache sprayer is that you can depend on. With that legendary mechanical drive, the linchpin of the dependability and the profitability, and a five-year warranty, the lowest total cost of ownership of any self-propelled sprayer on the market. This thing doesn't need us to sell it. It sells itself. Stop and see the good folks at High Plains Apache. Find out more about the Apache sprayers in Frontier, which is just south of Fargo, or in Mandan on Eastside Court. You can call them in Mandan at 663-2375 or in Frontier at 297-6464. And tell them Scott and Todd sent you. When you go in there and meet the good folks and want to say howdy, say, hey, Scott and Todd said I was supposed to be in here. Chris and Jay and Brett and Rick and Braden and Dan and Marcus and Eugene and Chad and Ken. Did I get everybody?
Hope so. If they say who's Todd, just go with it. Don't worry about it. Just go.
I forgot Stacy.
Todd, yeah, who?
Can't forget Stacy, yeah, and Tyler, and anyway, yeah. Their names are more important than ours, right, Todd? That's what we're trying to say.
What do you get, the book of baby names out there? You're just starting to read names off?
No, I'm trying to remember the folks that I've met at High Plains.
Your memory's a lot better than mine.
Is it really? Well, I'm glad. Yeah. Anyway, Tyler, did I mention Tyler, Greg, and Tim, and Sean back in the service department?
That's why you get the big chair.
In the Mandan office. Anyway, all the folks from High Plains Apache. All right, let's debate the minimum wage and whether we need to hike the minimum wage. It is some say it's long overdue, some say it's necessary, others say it'll cost jobs for people that it's supposed to help. Dan Mitchell, a senior fellow at the Cato Institute, is here. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I am doing just fine. How are you?
Great. Nice to have you in the program, Aaron. Eve Aturi is with us as well from the National Employment Law Project. Aaron, nice to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's get to it. And welcome, by the way, our listeners to weigh in on this as well at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Here's the big question. And Aaron, we'll start with you on this. Is this a political tool? In other words, is this a way for Democrats who largely support it to say, see, we're helping the little guy here, or is it about a real problem that needs to be solved in the country about a minimum wage that's too low?
Well, I think first and foremost, this is a moral issue. If an individual is willing to work, they should earn enough money to be able to lift their family out of poverty. In America, we value work as we should. We say it brings dignity. We say it brings prosperity, brings opportunity. And so if we want to be consistent with those values, we should pay people enough money that if you're willing to work full time, you should earn a living, earn a wage that provides you enough money to provide housing and clothing and food for your family. And I think also it's a family issue, right? It's a family values question in my mind as well. In that, you know, when we pay people too little, if you earn $7.25, in most places around the country, that's not nearly enough to live on. And it forces families to have parents who have multiple jobs. That means they spend less time with their kids. That means their kids don't have the same experience they might have otherwise. You know, in a family where they have a more comfortable living and parents who can just earn, you know, work at one job and earn enough money to make ends meet and therefore, you know, do right by their children in terms of the time they spend with them. So in my mind, above all, this is a moral issue. And I think, we need to think about it that way and just confront how, our own values as a society and what having a fair minimum wage that lifts people out of poverty, what that really means.
All right, Dan, what about this? Is this a moral issue or is it good politics for the left?
Well, both sides always have politics in their mind. So I'm sure Democrats are thinking of political advantages when they push minimum wage, just like Republicans are thinking of political advantages when they push for tax cuts. That doesn't mean they're not sincere in their underlying objectives, but the job of politicians is to get elected and reelected. So, yes, that's part of their calculation. I agree with almost everything Aaron said there. There's no question as an aspiration, we want all the good values of well-paid work and family life that he was describing. My problem is, though, what good does it do if you have a low-income worker who, because of, say, you know, crummy government rules, bad family background, just doesn't have good work skills, doesn't have necessary training? What if that person's only worth $7 an hour, and the government says you can't have a job unless you can find someone who pays you $10 an hour? In effect, what we're doing is sawing off the bottom rungs of the economic ladder. So I think we both have the same goals. I just think maybe I'm just being a little bit more sober-minded about whether or not government can, you know, when I was 5 years old, I wished I was a Major League Baseball player. Well, wishing doesn't make it so. We have to focus on the practical real-world issues, and the only way you get people to get paid more is to make them more productive. We need tighter labor markets, which means we need stronger economic growth. And I don't think increasing the burden of government is a recipe for stronger growth. If it was, then France would be economically booming and Hong Kong would be poor. But it's just the other count. Countries with less government tend to do better.
So what about the numbers there? What about the stats, Aaron?
Yeah, I think if what Dan was saying was correct, that by raising the minimum wage, we would cause a massive increase in unemployment, for example, or make low-wage workers unemployable, I'd have concerns as well. No one wants to make, low-wage workers make it harder for them to find jobs. The numbers don't actually bear that out. And this is an exhaustively studied subject, the minimum wage. And if you look at the research over decades, the finding is little to no employment effect. And it's not just in the academic world that we see that. If you look at the lived experience of states that have raised the minimum wage, Washington State is a great example. It has the highest minimum wage in the country, but is exceeding most other states and the nation as a whole in terms of its unemployment rate, and has one of the lower poverty rates in the country as well. There are cities and states around the country that have done this and have not seen the impact that those who would argue that it causes unemployment would have.
All right, I want to talk about some of those studies, but let me defer to the callers here first. Carl and Wishick, go ahead for our guests. You're on the What's on Your Mind.
Yeah, hi. The one gentleman that said that this was a moral issue, I agree with him that it is a moral issue, but I think that the moral issue, he focuses on the wrong moral issue. you know, I think that part of what has driven people to be mobile as far as seeking jobs and being upwardly mobile over the years is the fact that there's a difference in pay. And, you know, and that difference in pay creates an incentive for people to get off their hind end and go and seek other employment, to, you know, to chase jobs that are good paying jobs, whether, and going to school or doing whatever you need to do to, get yourself into the job that you want to be in. And I think that if you pay people, it's a disincentive to be mobile as far as seeking work. I look at the minimum wage as kind of a cruel hoax.
All right, Carl, hold that thought. We'll give Aaron a chance to respond to that. You can hear his answer on the other side of the break on What's on Your Mind Today.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
What is it worth to feel good? With a miracle chair, you can feel good. 20 minutes a day and you're a new person. Hi, folks. It's Scott Hannon to tell you about a North Dakota distributor for this relaxed to zero, state-of-the-art design, ultimate luxury experience massage chair. Let me talk about zero gravity for a moment. Zero gravity alleviates stress on the heart and supports the heart by reducing the heart rate to stabilize breathing, boost the amount of oxygen in the blood. It refreshes the muscles. It promotes back health. It improves blood circulation. Every single person that I've talked to that's been in this chair confirms what I've found. This chair is amazing. 20 minutes, twice a day, and I feel like a new person. And now it's distributed right here from North Dakota. Setup, delivery, the works, all included. Find out more at MiracleChair.net, MiracleChair.net, or call for a free test drive at Fargo or Grand Forks, 701-746-9950. 701-746-9950. The Miracle Chair. You'll love it.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Beetelsbacher.
Did you know there are as many as 143 different species of weeds that stubbornly refuse to succumb to herbicides growing in the United States? The North Dakota Soybean Council considers herbicide-resistant weeds a major problem that requires immediate attention. Soybean producers can no longer rely on one input or one mode of action to effectively treat these weeds. It is important to arm yourself with more weapons to apply against weeds, such as crop rotation, residual herbicides, and multiple herbicide modes of action. These tools can help you manage herbicide-resistant weeds growing in fields already and prevent the development of new herbicide-resistant species. We also encourage you to develop more diverse weed management plans to keep these weeds from spreading further. For more information to prevent herbicide-resistant weeds from spreading, log on to ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
What's on your mind? 800-228-0550. Is it a good idea to hike the minimum wage? Before we give Aaron a chance to answer Carl's question, Carl, I wish you had a comment and a question. And also, we were talking about some of these studies. You specifically mentioned, Aaron, Washington State, so I want to get into those as well. Any other questions or comments, welcome. 800-228-0550. Dan, I should have done this at the beginning, but what is the actual proposal that is being put forward now, mainly, I think, by Harry Reid and Senator Heitkamp in North Dakota, said she's in support of it being pushed by President Obama. What is it the Democrats seek right now in the way of federal minimum wage legislation?
Which person are you asking, me or Aaron?
I'm asking you, Dan.
I think the latest proposal, and Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong, is $10 or $10.10 an hour. I think phased in over, is it 18 months or 2 years?
Yeah, that's about right. It's $10.10 an hour. It would get to that level of 2016. Beyond that, after 2016, the minimum wage would increase with the rise in the cost of living. So, in other words, it would be, as they say, indexed to inflation.
Just wanted folks to know what we were debating here, and obviously the hike in the minimum wage is just that, but the specifics of it. So, Aaron, go ahead and address Carl. I wish you could, if you would.
Yeah, I appreciate the caller's comment, and if I understand it correctly, what he is the question he's raising is, do we create a disincentive for low-wage workers to seek better jobs by increasing the minimum wage? And to that, I would respond, you know, $10.10 an hour is not going to put you in luxury. It's barely enough to, if you have a family of three and you're supporting that family as an earner with a full-time job, it puts you barely above the poverty line for a family of three. So I don't think by raising the minimum wage to $10.10, we will cause people to not seek better employment or seek improvement in their lives in terms of the type of jobs they have.
All right, let's keep rolling with the callers here. Scott and Williston, you're next on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to comment about the guy that talked about Washington raising the minimum wage law, not affecting employment. Washington has become a very, very low wage state, especially the eastern half, if you can even find work right now. I came out to North Dakota from eastern Washington, so I know firsthand.
So, Scott, you're essentially challenging what Aaron's suggesting, that it's a good thing in Washington order that it's helped. Aaron, you want to respond, and Dan, go feel free to weigh in here as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think it's a – I'm sorry. I think it's a – you know, Eastern Washington is a good example. The minimum wage in the state of Washington is $9.32, but you have not seen a flood of jobs in Eastern Washington move to Idaho, for example, where the minimum wage is lower as a result of Washington State having right now the highest minimum wage in the nation. And the overall unemployment rate in the state is not suffered as a result of that wage.
That's not true at all. If you go to Spokane and look at North Idaho, you see, Cabela's built their store on the state line. It's about 100 feet from the Washington state line. They chose to build it in Post Falls, Idaho. There's all kinds of companies that have set up in North Idaho instead of Eastern Washington when they're feeding the Spokane and Eastern Washington market.
Scott, appreciate the call. Dan, are you familiar with any of the statistics that Scott's talking about in Washington State and wonder about anything that Aaron's talking about there?
Well, I'm not familiar, of course, with what's happening on the border of Washington State and Idaho. But in terms of the data on minimum wage, it all depends on where the market clearing entry level wage is at different points in our country, in different regions, in different cities. Sometimes the minimum wage has no impact because there's strong demand for labor, and even a place like McDonald's might be paying a dollar or two more than the official minimum wage. The problem exists in certain regions of the country that are more economically suffering. If the government says people can't take a job unless an employer is willing to pay $10.10, and if a certain employee or potential employee is only worth, say, $8.50 or $7.50 to a company, guess what? That person won't get hired. Here's a newsflash. Companies aren't charities. They don't hire workers out of the goodness of their heart. They hire workers because they expect those workers to help them make money. And if a worker costs more than they'll bring in, they won't get hired. So that's my concern. I want the kind of strong growth and tight labor markets that will enable people to get jobs that pay well, to do all the things Aaron was talking about at the beginning in terms of good family life and everything, but we can't pretend away reality. We can't just arbitrarily wave a magic wand and make some people worth more than they're actually worth. So I'm concerned that government is, as I said before, cutting off the bottom rungs of the economic ladder.
And by the way, North Dakota would be one of those places where the minimum wage is non-existent because of the robust things that are going on here. But where it is, where the economy is not doing so well, do I hear what you're saying then, Dan, is that the statistics that say when you hike the minimum wage, especially if you, if the economy is in tough shape, you actually end up hurting the people you're trying to help, and that there will be less jobs available. There'll be jobs lost as a result of hiking the minimum wage. Did the stats prove that out?
You'll hurt some of them. Obviously, let's say there are 100,000 people in a certain region getting paid the existing minimum wage, and the government increases it by $1, $2, whatever. Maybe 90% of them will keep their jobs, but 10% may lose their jobs. So then you have this very, I think, almost cruel cost-benefit analysis. Well, it's okay to throw those 10,000 people out of work because the other 90,000 people got their wages arbitrarily hiked by, via government edict. I'm not comfortable as a moral matter. I wish all 100,000 could have higher wages. Heck, I wish I had a magic wand that I could give everyone in the country higher wages. But I'm not comfortable with the notion that I'm going to sacrifice the 10,000 people and throw them out of the park and ruin their lives and put them way behind in a path just so I can feel good and get a good headline. And I worry that's what some of these politicians in Washington are doing. If they really thought the minimum wage had no negative effect, why aren't they proposing to raise it to $50 an hour? They obviously know it has a negative effect. They just think they can get away with small increases because people won't realize, oh, these people lost their jobs as a result.
All right, Dan Mitchell from the Cato Institute and Aaron Ivaturi from the National Employment Law Project debating whether a hike in the minimum wage is a good idea or a bad idea, and we welcome your input as well. Scott and Williston, last thanks. Matt and Dickinson, you're next on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead.
Yes, I have two questions for your guest. Number one, how much prosperity should we legislate? If we can legislate $10, why not $50 or $100? I mean, why not put us all on Easy Street? And number two, where's the morality in coercion? Is that a moral? Is there any morality in dictating through coercion that someone has to do? Someone has to pay a certain wage?
Good questions, Matt. We'll give those to Aaron, and about 30 seconds for your answer, so we might have to continue this on the other side of the break. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say there's lots of things in a society that we agree need to be legislated and mandated. That's why we don't allow child labor. That's why we have the weekend. That's why we don't have work weeks that stretch 90 hours anymore, as they were in the beginning of the industrialized era. So I don't think on its face there's a reason not to say we can set a minimum wage at a particular level. Again, this is not going to leave people in luxury. No one is saying we should raise the minimum wage to $50. Indeed, as Dan said, that at that level, you certainly would have employment effects. But there are levels, and I think we need to think about what it means for real people to earn enough money to make a living.
All right, second part of your answer when we come back. Stay tuned for your answer, and Jim and Lignite, you're next as well. Don't go away.
Utah, we listen. Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
Before you fight, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
KeepItLocal.com, the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try.
If it's time for a hurricane force truck wash, but you hate wasting the time, then the North Dakota Truck Wash is for you. The North Dakota Truck Wash in Stanley wants you to know there's no waiting time between 6 and 10, a.m. or p.m. If those times work for you, you'll enjoy no wait times and a free engine wash at North Dakota's best truck wash, the Bakken's best, Hurricane Force, the North Dakota Truck Wash in Stanley. Again, no waiting time between 6 and 10 a.m. or 6 and 10 p.m. at the North Dakota Truck Wash Stanley.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganics.com, spelled Terriganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Life's getting better.
This is What's on Your Mind, and we want to know at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Are you for or against a hike in the federal minimum wage? That being debated in Congress right now. Two guests debating it with us on the program today from the Cato Institute. Dan Mitchell, he's a senior fellow there, and also a strategist with the National Employment Law Project. Aaron Evitory with us today. And part two of the question from the previous caller, Aaron, for you was... Where's the morality in coercion? In other words, the government forcing this. We started by suggesting this was not a political issue, but rather a moral issue, and he says, where's the morality in coercion? So go ahead and take that one.
Sure, yeah. So, and I would say, I think what's important for listeners to do is to just put yourself in the shoes of someone who's trying to make ends meet on the minimum wage. You're a mother, you're supporting two kids, you're doing the right things, you're working, you want to work. And your job, the job you could get pays you $7.25 an hour. It's just not enough to live on, and you have to choose whether you're feeding yourself or your children today. It's just a difficult place to be, even though you're the one trying to do right. You're the one trying to work and make a living. And what happens in that scenario is that the government has to step in. You end up getting food stamps. The government steps in with welfare programs. And in fact, raising the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour will actually save the federal government $46 billion over 10 years. That's why there are prominent conservatives who've come out in favor of raising the minimum wage. Bill O'Reilly has said as much on his show. Ron Unz, a millionaire businessman in California, has tried to finance an initiative to raise the wage because he frankly thinks it's basically creating additional welfare spending by the federal government, because companies and the vast majority of companies who pay low wages are actually big businesses that can afford to pay more. They're choosing to pay their workers less, and those workers then have to take a handout from the federal government. That's not how it should be.
All right. Before I get to Jim and Lignan, anything you want to respond to on that front, Dan?
That all sounds wonderful, except what happens if the minimum wage throws someone out of work? It's better to be employed at $7.25, $8.25, $9.25 an hour than unemployed at $10, $11, $12 an hour.
All right. Jim and Lignite, you're next on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I agree with not the last caller, but the previous one. I don't know if this is the right show to quote Franklin D. Roosevelt, but 81 years ago, he made this statement. No business which depends for existence on paying less than living wages to its workers has any right to continue in this country. By living wages, I mean more than a bare subsistence level. I mean the wages of decent living. That's 81 years ago in June. Haven't we progressed at least that far by now?
Dan, you want to take that?
Well, I'm not a big FDR fan. His policies helped deepen and lengthen a recession, turned it into a Great Depression. I think his intervention, his higher tax rates, his increased government spending were responsible for a lot of economic misery. So, no, I don't think FDR is a good role model at all. And yeah, just being a politician, arbitrarily wishing something was true. Well, you know, I wish every 7-year-old girl had a pony under the Christmas tree. I wish every 10-year-old boy got to have dinner with their favorite baseball player. In the real world, if the minimum wage is higher than the market clearing entry level wage, you're going to throw people out of work, and that's my concern. We can't let dreams force us or keep us from being realistic about businesses need to try to make money, and if they're going to lose money hiring someone, they're not going to hire them.
My
All
point
right, from one end of the state to and go ahead, sorry, Jim.
My point to him then is: what if the market wage in, let's say, Mississippi is $4 an hour? Should people work for $4
compared to not being employed at all? Yes. Now that then raises a separate question: what can we do to make people in Mississippi more valuable to employers? What can we do to boost the overall economic growth rate so we tighten up labor markets and increase the demand for labor? That's what I would rather focus on. I don't want to just say, okay, we have a weak economy, so let's have the government pass legislation to say that it's illegal for two adults to make a contract at, say, $7 an hour. I want to figure out what can we do to get the kind of, you know, sort of Hong Kong-style growth, 5, 6, 7% a year, where all of a sudden there's this strong demand for labor and people are getting paid more, not because the government's holding a gun to somebody's head, and, of course, some people are then victimized by unemployment. I want the kind of strong growth that makes it so that everyone who wants to work, as you said at the beginning of our program, has a chance to have a better life.
Jim, appreciate the call. We're going to go to the other end of the state from Lignite to another Jim in Fargo with your comments here, a lot of opinions, and we welcome them all at 800-228-0550 on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead, Jim. Jim in Fargo.
Well, the minimum wage, what people understand, has nothing to do with the living wage. It's all about unions. The unions base their wages based on what the minimum wage is, and they get more raise out of it. No, there's nobody raising a family on minimum wage. I mean, let's be honest about it. I mean, what they're going to do there, it's absolutely crazy to even suggest such a thing. There's nobody raising a family. Nobody raising a family. And if they are, let's just, if minimum wage is the answer, why don't we just make it $40 an hour for everybody? Then we'll pay $28 for a hamburger and $60 for a bag of popcorn. But everybody will make it $28 an hour, so we'll be happy. I mean, good
God. That goes back to a point we brought up at the beginning of this debate, and that is the politics of this, because in many cases, the minimum wage hike does mean wages go up at a higher level at some unions. Is it not, Aaron?
It would, and I don't see a problem with that, frankly. I mean, you know, look, we are the richest country in the history of the world. I'm flabbergasted that we would argue that we have an economy that can afford, where businesses can afford to pay workers $10.10 an hour. In the richest
isn't that a market? Isn't that a market question, though? Really,
well,
for the
I mean,
market
in
to
other
sort
countries,
out?
Let's take an example, because I know Dan brought up countries in other parts of the world. Australia has a minimum wage of nearly $15 an hour if you convert the currency to U.S. dollars, and they have an unemployment rate that's for 10 years been 6% or lower. Many countries in Europe have higher wages, whether through an established minimum wage or through some sort of labor relations system between businesses and unions or businesses and workers, and they pay workers a lot more money, and they succeed economically. So I dispute the notion that, you know, we can't have a higher wage. And again, this isn't, I know the caller and another caller mentioned, well, why don't we just pay workers $40? Well, we're not suggesting that. We can set, just because we set the minimum wage at some level doesn't mean we have to set it at $100 or $40. Yeah.
Denmark. And Denmark, I mean, his wages over there, and I communicated with him for 20 years after he left, his wages over there are insane. But he also, if you talk to him, every time he comes over to visit me, like you said, a pair of Levi's over there is about $160. Well, let's see, what do we pay for them here? 30. So what have they gained by paying that much more money for something, for a value of a job that is only worth $10 an hour?
Interesting stat there, Jim. Dan, do you see that in other studies? I mean, you know, again, if you mandate a minimum wage and you pay the lowest worker more, do they end up then paying more for goods and it all comes out in the wash?
Well, obviously, there are dozens of policies that affect economic performance. And after my final point, I thought we were only going to the half-hour point in a hotel in Memphis about to get picked up to go give a speech on fiscal policy, not minimum wage policy. But that's the key thing. There are lots of policies that determine economic performance. Some countries might have very good policy, but also a minimum wage. Some countries might have very bad policy in general, but not have a minimum wage. So you have to look at the overall picture, and the overall picture is that free markets and small government are better for economic growth, better for the average person, certainly better for the person at the bottom of the economic ladder in terms of economic opportunity. And I'm worried about we're becoming more like France and Greece and Italy as a country. And not just under Obama, it was happening under Bush with all his pork barrel spending and government intervention and bailouts and stuff like that. And so the minimum wage is just one more straw on the camel's back. Now, I don't know the point at which we suddenly become a failed European welfare state, but I don't want us to be taking that risk and going in that direction. I worry about the future of our country.
Sorry that we did keep you longer. We've a lot of folks wanting to weigh in on this topic, so we did get a little long. We'll let you go, Dan. Aaron, if you can stay at least till the next break, we'd appreciate it, as
sure,
we have some
sure
other calls going as well.
Thank you very much.
Take care, Dan. Dan Mitchell from the Cato Institute. Here's a call that came in during the break.
Hey, Scott. I just want to comment on this minimum wage issue we're talking about. The first guest was talking about this minimum wage being a moral issue, and, therefore, you know, it's a fact that the federal government needs to do something about it. I have a couple comments on that. One, there's an awful lot of moral issues that the government has no constitutional authority to do anything about whatsoever. You can't legislate morality, things like that. We've all heard these arguments. And, you know, the other thing is, I don't even know that the minimum wage is even a moral issue. I think I disagree with that. I just think that the discussion is getting into a touchy feely, and I'm uncomfortable because somebody else has to work more hours a week than I do, and things like that. That's not a moral issue. Lifting people out of poverty doesn't just mean paying them more. There's a lot of things that go into that, and I disagree with what the first guess is bringing up. You know, it's just nonsensical in my opinion, and I'm sure a lot of people's opinions that are listening to your show today. So anyway, that's my opinion. Thanks.
Appreciate the call, and Arnold will give you a chance to respond to that.
The reason I think it's a moral issue is because I think as a society, we believe in helping our neighbors. We believe in, being our brothers and sisters keepers. And as the president has said, and many folks have said, I wholly agree that, just raising the minimum wage isn't the only thing we need to do in order to improve people's lives and raise people out of poverty. But it is a very significant thing we can do. There are, in fact, I think another caller said that there are not many people raising a family on the minimum wage. Unfortunately, there are about 3 million people who make the minimum wage, and most of them are not teenagers or folks early in life. The average minimum wage worker is a woman in her 30s who has kids. And if you look at, in terms of, the bill would raise the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour, that would impact close to 28 million people around the country. So it's not an insignificant problem. Low wages is not a problem that's just restricted to those who are starting off in the workforce. It's folks who are trying to raise kids, who are trying to do the right thing by working and establishing a decent job and a decent family life for themselves and their family. And I just think the reason it's a moral issue is that if we say we want to reward work and we say we want a strong family life in America, and I believe both of those things, then we have to say if someone is willing to work, then they should make enough money at least to be above the poverty line and hopefully improve from there on as they get comfortable working and improve their skills and get experience.
All right, you heard the debate. Which side are you on? Lynn and Bismarck, Chris and Bismarck, Jim in Newtown, and a whole host of folks that have called off the air with comments. We'll give them a chance to weigh in when we come back. Aaron Evaturi from the National Employment Law Project joining Dan Mitchell from the Cato Institute in the debate. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate your time very much. Callers get the final say. You bet, when we come back.
You're listening to the program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
Warmer weather and snow melting means one thing. It's time for the Max Spring Sale. Find great deals like a 2-inch by 27-foot tie-down for only $10.99. Save $100 on a DeWalt 18-volt cordless drill combo kit. Great 5 volts, only $1.69 per pound. $3.99 for a 40-pound bag of softener salt. Rope, cable, tools, they're all on sale now during Max Spring Sale. It's not just another hardware store. It's Max.
Look, Billings, Montana, the Metro Park Expo Center, home of the 15th Annual Energy Exposition. Yep, June 25th and 26th. It's the largest oil and gas trade show in the Rockies. You go there, you get exposed. Register your company for a booth now. And hey, don't miss the industry dinner with keynote speaker, the Honorable Dick Cheney. Admission to the expo is free, and the exposure is, you know, priceless. The Energy Exposition, June 25th and 26th. Find out more at energyexposition.com.
If you're working in the Stanley area and looking for affordable housing, listen up a moment. Yes, I said affordable housing. I want you to check out the new Frontier Village. It's a development conveniently located on the west side of Stanley, about 2 blocks north of the new Holiday Station on Highway 2. Now, if you have families, you're going to love this location because it is walking distance to the elementary and high school and, of course, groceries, amenities, all around, walking distance. With over 30 models of manufactured homes, it has never been easier to get a new home to meet your needs and your budget. Even though they have about 60 new lots, the best ones are going to sell quick, so why wait? Pick yours out today. Your new home will be ready to move into this spring if you start now. Call 701-628-2418. 701-628-2418. Affordable housing, walking distance to schools and groceries, and it's affordable. Call 701-628-2418 for Frontier Village today.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
On the minimum wage debate, the only people that come out ahead on that is the government, because they can collect more tax money. Because once you raise the minimum wage, then everybody else's wages go up, more income tax, and all the price of everything else that gets sold goes up along with it. So people on fixed incomes get hurt, but the government comes out ahead, and that's the only reason they're doing it, so they can collect more taxes. Thank you.
All right, we have about 5 minutes left today on What's on Your Mind. You heard the debate. Now just tell us in about 30 seconds or less, you're for it, you against it, and why. Let's go to who's waiting the longest. Lynn in Bismarck. What do you think on the minimum wage hike proposal, Lynn?
Yeah, good morning, Scott. We've been listening to a lot of theory, but I want to give just a short real-world example. I was at the Frozen Face-Off hockey tournament in Minneapolis this weekend and talked with a young contractor just starting out. All he has is a pickup and a lot of tools that pretty much fill the back end of his pickup. But he finds he found out real quick in his business, starting up business, that if he has a guy next to him that can run errands for him, clean up with a broom, he doesn't want the guy that he's got working for him running power tools, because he's a Vietnam vet, he's got a drinking problem that probably will, he's 60 years old, probably will follow him through the rest of his life. His helper is being supported by a good friend of his that gives him lodging, society really helping out a guy. The fact of the matter is, this young contractor cannot afford to pay this helper for another 6 months or so a minimum wage in Minnesota. And so what he's doing is he's paying him $2 an hour in cash. And when the guy does something that's pretty special, you know, he'll raise his pay from $16 a day to maybe 20 or sometimes even 40 if he's done a great day's work, and he pays them all in cash. Now, what's happening? First of all, the government's not getting any revenue because the guy is in the black market, the employee. The young contractor is liable to end up in jail if anybody turns him in to the authorities. He's going to be in serious trouble. So while society does a real good job of taking care of those folks that have a little difficulty taking care of themselves, like my dad after he came back from World War II, was an alcoholic for decades. And this guy's no different. He deserves equal treatment, and he deserves some breaks. But he would have nothing, no job, no sense of self-fulfillment at all if it wasn't the fact that he was breaking the law and working in the black market. So the real world is dicier.
Yeah, there you go. Good example, Lynn. Appreciate the call. Quickly, if we could, just to reach you, let us know which side of the debate you're on. Kevin and Cavalier, you're next on What's on Your Mind. Let's go to Kevin Cavalier on line 4. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm against raising minimum wage. I think the guy mentioned a couple moral issues. Just a quick example. If I eat 5 hamburgers a week and I'm paying $5 per hamburger and I get $5 of charity per week, and also the hamburgers go up to $6, I will not be given to any charity. So that's unmoral. And the second thing he mentioned, these people struggling on minimum wage the way it is right now, is a woman with children. Moral issue, where's the father paying, help paying for them expenses? Just a couple quick comments. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. Adam in Watford City, for or against the hike of the minimum wage?
Oh, I'm against. I was thinking about it. The government raising minimum wage just enables people to make bad choices. Someone makes minimum wage right now, whatever. About $100 a month cell phone bill, $100 a month cable bill. You raise minimum wage, they don't have to be responsible for what their how their budget is. I mean, I think if you teach budgeting skills instead of raising the minimum wage, maybe that's the way to go.
I would also say, look, it's the greatest country on the face of the earth, and do whatever you want to do. Go back to school, get yourself a different set of skills. Look at the oil boom right now. I mean, there's folks out there with a GED or a high school diploma that are making six figures because they got a decent work ethic. The work is there if you want to work for it. Agree with you there. Dale Bismarck, for or against the hike in the minimum wage. Where do you come down on this issue?
Well, I guess I'm kind of for it, because if you go back into the 60s and with the cost of living going up and stuff, that they were better on the minimum wage back in the 60s than they are right now, because it never was brought forth ahead of it. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
never
Dale,
kept
please.
Up. The minimum wage never raised. But by saying that, I feel that these people on welfare and stuff should be, in order to get their welfare, they have to put in a 40-hour week, and then we pay them so much. But in order to get that, they should put in their 40 hours, and then if they need subsidized, then we help these people.
Appreciate the call. A lot of different views on this. Linda sends a note, says, hey, minimum wage goes up, store owner's overhead goes up. Prices go up to cover increased overhead. My wages will not go up. The wage hikes never go to those already working at minimum wage. Trust me, that's been the case for me with 3 minimum wage hikes already. Now where do I get the funds to pay the higher cost of groceries? I already cut out such things as a newspaper, etc. I have no more corners to cut, so I can tighten my belt. Jim in Newtown. Are you for or against it? You have a whopping 5 seconds to tell us your view on this, Jim.
I'm a hard luck story who's worked my way to a comfortable income. I'm very much against raising any minimum wage or any other program that allows people to underachieve and not be all they can be.
That's a good way to end, Jen. Appreciate the call. Thanks for all the feedback. My gosh, we didn't get to all of you. Appreciate you joining the debate today and listening to What's On Your Mind. For Todd Mitchell, I'm Scott Hinnon. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here. My friends at Chase on the Lake, Leech Lake, and Walker, Minnesota have done it again. A great deal, a very special deal for our listeners now through the end of April. Here's the deal. 50% off, half off any room. 50% off, that's right, half off any spa treatment. 50% off the bowling, private bowling of two lanes. You'll have a blast. It's great family fun. We crank up the jukebox. We have a great time every time we go. Plus, free breakfast each morning of your stay for the entire crew. Your pick of rooms, three-bedroom, two-bedroom, you name it. Just need a king-size big room. There's no such thing as a bad room at Chase on the Lake. They're all fabulous. Here's how you get this offer. Any Sunday through Thursday, now through the end of April, go to chaseonthelake.com and use the promo code SCOTT. Chaseonthelake.com, promo code SCOTT. If you'd like, call them. Tell them Scott sent you. They'll walk you through the reservation. 888-CHASE-06, 888-242-7306. Chase on the Lake, Walker, Minnesota. You'll love it.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring. 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.